Take us with you with the new 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
I'll do anything you want me to.
Download it and listen live to Boston's home for sports.
So there's going to be a lot of people who are going to be outraged and shaking their fist this morning.
Happiness comes from feeling good about yourself.
Breaking the mold on sports radio in Boston.
Is that why I thought of Sesame Street?
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Apparently, days and days and days of Prince audio coming out. Like, if it would take
from his
vaults? From the vaults. Plus, they're remastering all his post-1990 work and re-releasing that. So, like, legit, over the next 10 years, there's going to be enough material that it would take you 2 days straight to listen to all of it. All of the new stuff.
I mean, I'm sure there's some stuff in there, but what was the Gold album? Do you remember that one?
Yeah. Gold was a double record.
Yeah. I didn't fully tap out after that, but I didn't pay much attention.
I tapped out after that record.
I mean, he was putting stuff out, like, so much stuff, and he had nobody to help him, like, edit. Or
right.
He didn't want anybody to help him say, you know what, maybe not. Maybe not so much with this song and this song and this song. You'd be better off with a single album here, or maybe only one full-length release this year as opposed to four.
Right.
You know? It's just, after a while, you just, well, I don't know, ceases to be special.
It's like Ryan Adams.
Exactly like Ryan Adams. It's like, not all this needs to be heard. Not everything you do is you know, worthy of release and like, oh, everybody has to listen to this. No.
I agree. He got wrapped up in his own genius. A man who also has done so is Billy Jaffe. You know him from Neston. He covers the Bruins. Hello, Billy.
Hello there. I was wondering, does Phil Collins fall into that category too later in his career?
Phil Collins is a piece of garbage, so no.
What?
In his career? A lot of the music that came out was just kind of like, it wasn't his, I don't know, it didn't sound even like him, but it was just constant, here comes another song.
A guy who was a baseball coach of mine when I was a child and did something very cruel to me. Used to walk around with his No Jacket Required shirt on, like he was very proud of himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just, like, No Jacket Required, like, ooh, wow, you went to see Phil Collins, did you? But can I see the tour dates on the back? Wow, he played Scranton? Hey, guess what, everyone? I saw, like, a huge artist play in an arena, and I bought a shirt there.
Okay.
That says to me, like, people are going to, like, here's the thought process of it. You buy the shirt, and then you wear it constantly. And the idea is people are like, dude, did you get that, like, at the store? Did you get that at the show? And you're like, show.
Okay.
Yeah, you saw the call man live?
Billy, just permit me for one moment. You said Phil Collins was a piece of garbage.
Yes, I
read
his book.
That sounds personal.
I read his book. It was terrible. He goes into, when he was, like, in his 50s, it just got into drinking for, like, 2 years and ended up hospitalized. So I was interested in that. It takes up 4 pages of the book. And the rest is, you know, talking about, oh, my back hurts.
Oh, all right.
In the Alamo.
Well, this does segue nicely into Billy Jaffe.
Right, it does.
Go ahead.
Because I will be drinking, yes.
Yeah.
All right. So, Billy, the last time I saw you, I wasn't expecting to run into you, and you manhandled me. It was very emasculating. You sat there and you slapped me. You started squeezing me all crazy.
No, I gave you a big hug. And, you know, you kind of giggled or whatever you did. And, you know, you kind of went, oh, God, that's a Fred giggle, you know, like, stop. And I'm just like, you know, I was happy to see you. I told you the other time I was on the radio with you, like, last week. You were like, oh, that was very, you were like, you know, showing your masculinity or whatever. I said, I wasn't marking my territory. I wasn't peeing on your leg. I gave you a hug. I don't get to see you much anymore. I'm hoping in the very, very near future I'll be seeing you.
You're supposed to come over tomorrow.
Hence the point.
Yes.
Okay, I'm coming over.
I don't need you causing a scene over my house.
I've got a 12 of PBR chilling right now for the two of us.
You put a little salt on the rim, that's all right.
Is that what you're calling it now?
Jesus, Hardy. Will you ever learn? All right.
I'm a cad.
You're a rapscallion. All right, so Billy, obviously missing out on Tavares. However, the move from the defenseman from New Jersey, I'll just mispronounce his name if I try to say it. Oh, no, I won't. John Moore's
yeah. a tough name. Yeah.
Yeah, John Moore's very tough. That's right. I was confusing him with someone else. All right, so John Moore is someone that they've committed to, and he's a left-shot defenseman, which gives them four left-shot D-men. They obviously need some help at the forward. It looks like a move is inevitable. They have so much talent in the minors, and they have so many young players. If they're going to make a run at it now, they can. What do you see happening?
To me, I do see them making a move. And the question becomes for forward, is it for a top six winger where, in theory, you have that depth that you talked about, Fred? You know, you talk about the youthful depth in no particular order. Ryan Donato, Danton Heinen, Jake DeBrus, Anders Bjork. Those are guys that we've at least seen last year, some a lot like DeBrus, not enough like Donato because he came up end of the year. So can you fill a spot with that? Or do they make a move for the third center spot, which to me might be more pressing? I think that's more pressing than a top six winger right now. That third line center spot where Riley Nash was, and good for Riley Nash. He went and got a big payday from Columbus. You know, they weren't going to pay them that with the Bruins, and you respect it. But I think that they need to figure out really where they want to go with that third center spot for now, at the very least early on in the season, because I think they can, you know, there's always ways to make a bigger trade. I mean, there's one name that's being thrown out there an awful lot, a guy from Columbus by the name of Artemi Panarin. His nickname is the Bread Man. That's what Joel Quenneville, the coach of the Blackhawks, named him in honor of Panera Bread, but two, 3 years ago. But I don't know if he's really going to be available, guys, when it's all said and done. It'd be a huge deal. Could they make that? Maybe. But overall, I think the third-line center spot, Fred, is where they need to address the most heading into the season, because you can't lose your depth. They had depth last year. You can't lose that. And is a guy like Forsbacka Carlson or Trent Frederick ready from Providence? I'm not seeing them enough, but I don't think just yet. Frederick just signed at the end of the year out of Wisconsin. Forsbacka had a big concussion for most of half of last year in Providence.
All right, what about Halak? They couldn't get it done with Hudobin. Is that an upgrade, or what do you think about that?
I think it is. Here's the thing about Anton. You guys know this. I mean, you heard, you read a lot, you saw a lot. Hudobin had a great second year, and it was actually the perfect start to the year for him. The first half, maybe even two-thirds of the season last year were awesome. Struggled's not the right term. Kind of slowed down a bit, perhaps. Wasn't as stellar the last third of the year. But the thing about Anton is he's an awesome teammate. He's a great teammate, and Tuukka loves him. But he got his money. But meanwhile, this is a guy in Hudobin who's played 147 career games. One playoff game. You're adding Halak, and I checked it out the other day because I was looking into the comparisons too, and I know Jaroslav Halak a bit, but he's played 449 career games, 30 playoff career games. He has a lot more experience. He has experience as a legitimate starter. He played 54 games last year for the Islanders, which were awful, and the same number of games were played by Tuukka Rask. You know what? Halak faced, I think it was over 250 more shots. That's how brutal the Islanders were defensively. I think that there's a feel that Halak isn't. I know that there's a feel. I talk to people that he's an upgrade. They love Anton. They wish him well, nothing personal, but they feel like they get a guy who is a more reliable netminder that should be better with a better team in front of him. By the way, Halak's had some pretty good years. He was a starter with St. Louis and a starter with the Montreal Canadiens. And he was a starter with the Islanders for over 3 years, too. They had some situation, though, on the island when he was there with a bunch of goalies that made it, again, added to the gong showness of that team there.
Yeah, there's some people that are saying that, you know, when Hudobin would take over and get hot, when Rask didn't have it, you know, it would be 2-3 games. People are saying that Halak could go for, like, a pretty good stretch if he stayed hot and Rask was struggling.
No question. I mean, Halak has experience as a starter. I don't remember the numbers, Fred, but it's at least four, maybe five times that he's played over 50 games in his NHL career. You know, he's 33, a lot of experience. You know, I'm not making him out to be the Vezina Trophy winner, but on the other hand, this is a guy that is very reliable. He's not big. Neither is Hudobin. You know, neither of them are huge. He's got real quick pads. And I think, I'm really not trying to bash the Islanders, but their defense was awful last year. And if you know, their offense was pretty good with a guy like Tavares and Barzal, their defense was pretty bad. And they were seeing shots from everywhere. So if you bring that back a bit and you give some more support, I think this is a guy that, basically it can be your 1B and it will play 35 games. And it keeps Tuukka Rask's 50 games.
All right, Billy, you have a big camp coming up for yes. people. Give the information.
Coming in August 20th through 24th at Warrior Ice Rink. We're doing an adult hockey camp, 25 to 30 skaters only. You can get out there. You can practice. You can learn. Instead of just going out and playing rat time, we're going to come out and learn. We're going to have a great time. We're going to have some beverages afterwards. I tell you that there was you could keep your stuff in the locker room and have towel service, but that to Hardy's not important.
No, so I just think it's funny that that's like one of the major selling points. Once he brought up the towel service. Hey, you don't have to bring your own towel back and forth.
Well, yeah, you can keep your gear there. It's like you get to practice and play like the pros. And we're going to have some great guests. I don't know about Hardy coming up, but we're going to have some great guests, some current and former NCAA coaches working on some current Boston Bruins. And some coaches from the Boston Bruins staff, too. Well, confirm those the closer we get. But it's going to be at nighttime, too, 7:30 to 9 o'clock at Warrior Ice Rink. And I appreciate you, Fred, letting me mention it. Having good sign-ups so far, too. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Good.
All right. Well, Billy Jaffe, unless you cancel, I suppose I'll see you tomorrow.
You're going to see me tomorrow. I told you, 12 of PBR, chilling right now.
All right. Well, that's a light snack, but okay, we can start there. All right, Billy Jaffe, thank you so much for the time.
Gentlemen, have a wonderful day.
You too, Billy. See
you. The same. Billy Jaffe.
Billy and I were supposed to play golf
yesterday
or today, but that's not going to happen. It's too hot. Too hot anyway.
Are you going to join one of them country clubs?
I don't know.
We should.
Thinking about
yourself.
I've never belonged to a club before. I'm a Muni rat, and my home course is George Wright and Hyde Park. But I will be moving not a great distance away, and I'll still play there. But it would make sense to find a new home base of operation. And who knows? Who knows where we'll land? I don't know.
Mm. Well, it seems to me that your country club material. You have them come over to your house?
Of course. Of course. It's not a question of if, you know, we could. I'm sure we'll be courted, like we were from many of the towns and municipalities in and around the greater Boston area. Please, Poole family, move to our town. Here's what we have to offer. And we accepted bids and proposals and PowerPoint presentations, and we settled on one, and we will be moving there shortly. But, you know, what happens after that is anyone's guess.
All right. Well, it sounds good to me.
I'll let you know.
All right. Well, I'll tell you this. The CBS Sportsman is brought to you by Tiger Home Inspection, and we'll hear more about the amazing life of Tom Cruise and the white teeth that came out of all of that.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Toucher and Rich. We all have our morning routine.
The kids ain't going to learn nothing.
Thanks for making Toucher and Rich part of yours.
That's right, baby.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okie dokie. Let's go. .985 the Sports Hub, or Toucher and Rich. Does anyone have to work 4th of July here?
No on air.
Mason
here.
Does.
Yeah.
There's got to be people here like running the board and keeping the lights on and stuff, but I don't think there's on air.
We're going to the network.
See, I'm very disappointed because I thought my vacation started this Sunday, but it doesn't start until I was leaving for vacation this Friday, but I'm not leaving until the following Friday.
And when did that information come to you?
Dude, it was so confusing with this baseball crap. And I was like, because I was like, the chances of getting through two rounds are not that great. So I got to book this trip for this time. But then it all got jangled in my mind of what
because
how many
of
weekends
what happened with, and because of what happened with the game last night.
Yeah. What's the skinny on that, Fred?
With the game last night?
Yeah. Sarge wants the skinny.
All right, well, I'll give you the skinny there, Daddy-O.
Let's go,
man. is I'll tell you what, Brookline Field's a hell of a team. Brookline Field's a hell of a team. That's what I'll say. I mean, no shame in the way the boys played last night, but, you know, sometimes you just ain't there.
What division is this again?
This is AAA baseball.
So this is double elimination?
No, this is 10 and under.
Oh, I thought this was a Williamsport.
It is Williamsport. It's 10 and under. Okay. It is a 10 and under Williamsport team, and the district is two Parkland teams, a Brookline team, and us.
Got it.
So came in, should have won the first game, a little sloppy. And then last night, Brookline came to play. It was close.
What are you, third base coach during the games?
I don't coach. Not for Williamsport.
Oh,
Williamsport practices every day during it. But now we are out. We just have a game tomorrow.
And, on the 4th of July?
Oh, I'm sorry. On Thursday.
Okay.
I'm all over the place.
I thought they were going to sandlot that bad boy and just get out there on the 4th. Wait for the fireworks to go off. Pretend you're playing under the lights.
I do that all the time when I was growing up.
Yeah, Ray Charles, America the Beautiful.
That's what we did too.
Yeah,
absolutely.
We would just go shh,
and then there would night
be
game.
Then there'd be a giant. Oh, we would get to the sand lot and we'd throw the ball around. Who cared? And we would have perfect swings like the kids in that movie did.
Benny the Jet Rodriguez. Oh, I could watch him steal home all day.
Can you imagine that you have two friends out of a group of about six?
Oh, I'm sorry. There's more to that. Okay.
Yeah. Out of a group of like six kids,
okay.
And two of them just go to the majors. They're just like, hey, come hell or high water.
Well, only one went to the majors. One was calling the game. The other one.
No. The pitcher went to the majors as well.
What, for a cup of coffee?
Yeah.
He wasn't up there for real, though.
The kid from the Sandlot, the black kid from the Sandlot,
yeah.
He played pro. I don't know
really?
If it was majors, but he played pro. Like, Glasses Magoo, like, just went on to, you know what Glasses Magoo did? OD'd.
Did he?
Yeah. They say at the end of the movie.
You mean
they
squints?
Go,
squints.
Yeah, they go at the end of the movie, they go, Rodriguez steals home. Squints. Oh, no, that's too much pure heroin.
I thought he married Wendy Peppercorn.
Yeah. And they had like 19 kids.
Yeah. Exactly. And then Peppercorn started cheating on him.
Ooh.
Then he started riding the white horse. That's in the sequel. You guys never saw the Sandlot 2?
No.
No. No desire.
Squints would show up to the park where the new generation was. He would be like, come on, Jack. I need some money for some sweet, sweet white horse.
According to Mason's...
Jim?
Mungo,
great show.
Mungo Jerry back there, Mason Sousa. He said that the pitcher played AAA as in the what is it? You call it the epilogue of the film?
Yeah, the epilogue in the film.
AAA.
Yeah, okay.
They had a cup of coffee.
Well, that's not the show.
Well, we played professional baseball, is what I said.
All right. You made it sound
the
like
the fat kid, by the way, lost a hand in an industrial accident.
in the voiceover at the end,
he goes,
yes.
Everything seemed to work out great for me. And Rodriguez, the rest a series of ultimate tragedies.
Right. It's kind of like the end of Stand By Me. And they're talking about the stabbings.
Yeah. And there's this one who was like, Kenny's wife won a malpractice suit for $1 million because Kenny had a failed quadruple bypass.
Right.
That was what
a
the whole thing
was. Botched hip replacement surgery.
Yep, that's right.
You feel like garbage walking out of the movie, hearing all that.
Yeah, you do certainly,
ooh.
Sarge. You got that. You hit that nail on the head. I'll tell you that much.
I despise the end of that movie with what's his name? The kid, Dennis Leary's stepson.
He's the worst. That kid is the worst.
Well, the kid, most kids in movies are bad.
And then the guy does the voiceover.
The adult actor playing the play-by-play guy at the end.
We got into the worst. What does he refer to the bad things as? We got to the worst pickle ever.
Yeah.
We got into quite a pickle.
But the very end where he says, some say the Jet has lost a step or two, but when he calls it and he stands up, he goes, the Jet stole home! And it's cringe-inducing. It's so bad.
It is cringe.
It's just, oh.
Because you know if you're doing play-by-play for a team, all you want is the game to end. I mean, you're just sitting there wanting to game that.
Especially baseball.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I used to have to do that for CNSI.
Yeah.
It did end at that moment as a walk-off steal of home, I believe.
Okay, well, that's why he wanted to go. He wanted to go home to see if his wife was sleeping with someone else. But I...
Brockmire.
Brockmire, indeed. Is season two going on?
I didn't even watch the end of season one. I got the joke kind of didn't evolve.
No, it does evolve.
Come on.
It does. All right, so...
CNNSI?
I worked at CNN Sports Illustrated.
Right.
And I used to have to log the games, which was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Balls and strikes. And then if they showed a picture of someone in the dugout, guess who my editor was? We were low on the food chain.
Benny the Jet Rodriguez.
Willie Geist.
Oh,
wow.
How about that?
Yep. And then if you looked at the talent between the two of us, you would have said that this kid's going to make it.
Yeah.
But then I got the...
I would not expect you to perform well in a job like data entry, which is essentially what that is.
I did not do well.
So you met my expectations.
When Pinella coached the Seattle, went over there, the Mariners, they'd be like, Pinella's pulling out a kid from Japan, his first outing. Oh, look, he's walked the bases loaded. Fred, you're going to sit here till 2:45 in the morning.
Oh, no.
Enjoy yourself.
Oh.
Yep, they've run deep. Now they're pulling out guys that you've never heard of or seen before. You know what we loved at CNNSI is IRL racing. That was the best because it was easy. You didn't have to really pay attention, and it went by in a flash. You know what else we liked is WNBA. Because those games took 10 seconds, and they didn't demand very many highlights. So you just had to pick a dunkaroo here, so you never had to pick that. Or a Jimmy Jam splashy pass, and then you were on your way. But IRL and a WNBA were the best. Those were the cream of the crop, because they went fast. And you got paid either
way. 2 hours.
You got paid either way.
Yep.
You had to take a test before you got the job there. You had to prove that you had the knowledge required.
Data entry and timely data entry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, both those things I would not think you would excel at.
No. And I like to be forced to do something that's a recreational activity, too. That really makes you love it. Hey, you like sports? Here's a bunch of garbage to watch. Oh, great. Thanks. Dude, you're getting paid to watch sports? Yeah, try it. Super fun. All right. The Sports Hub... American Red Cross Blood Drive is Saturday, July 14th. Donate from 10 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. at the Best Western in Woburn. Raffles and games throughout the day. Walk-ins welcome or schedule an appointment at redcrossblood.org. The Sports Hub American Red Cross Blood Drive, Saturday from 10 to 3:30 at the Best Western in Woburn. We will be back. We will finally finish the Scientology stuff, and then we will be on our way. Hardy is going to Cape Cod. He's going to go over there to the Cape. He's going to get himself one of them lobster rolls.
We might get some ice cream. Are there any good ice cream places down the Cape?
Is that a sarcastic question?
Yeah, Hardy. Is it a sarcastic question?
I'll give you like 20 places, dude, and lobster rolls.
I can't. I made it 3.5 hours. To the point where I can't look at him anymore, but I can't look at him anymore.
Well, put eyes in the back of your head then.
If you want to call and talk to Sarge, 617.
Can we do that for the last segments?
617-779-0985. Ask Sarge anything. 617-779-0985.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Miss something?
You know what that means.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5, the Sports Hub app.
Mankind became stupider.
Now back to Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
98.5, the Sports Hub, or Toucher and Rich. Hardy sarcastically asked if he knew any places to have ice cream on the Cape, and Sarge is continuing to give him names.
Yeah, I got
to
help out with my friend.
I know where to go for ice cream. And as a matter of fact, you don't need to know where to go. It's everywhere.
He was saying that the point he was making, Sarge, is that ice cream is everywhere.
I know. It was just a you know, it was kind of like the Godfather thing yesterday with the Wong father.
Yeah, okay. You got one call. There's so many people listening this morning. Nothing like the morning before the 4th of July to really feel like a rock
star. Keep saying there are people listening, Fred.
No, there are not many.
Yes, there are.
All right, there's only one. I'm only going to take two. One call. I'm only going to take one call, okay? That's it. And it's not an insult.
Yeah, I saw what the question is, too, so go ahead.
Okay, Frank, go ahead.
Okay, Sarge. Just a number. First time you got laid, how old were you?
High school.
What grade?
Junior, so what's that, 16?
Junior 16, year. 17? Now, was it a girlfriend or was it a friend's mom or something?
No.
No, okay. Yeah. It was a girlfriend.
Yeah.
How long had you been dating?
6 months.
Now, how far from Niagara Falls did she live?
Same town, Freddie.
All right. So there you go. Did you wear protection?
Don't be a fool. You know what?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right.
All right.
You wanted it? You got it.
Listen, there's no shame in that.
No.
There's no shame in that.
Yeah.
I lost mine when I was 30. All right.
Fred, do you want to check in on what was happening in L.A. between James Corden and
LeBron James? Oh, yeah, I
LeBron
do want to hear
James
this.
And, okay.
Okay, so James Corden is brilliant. He is a hack, love-me type of a performer. His claim to fame here in the States is that he drives a car around while, get this, Hardy, people who sing for a living sing, for the most part. And it's called Carpool Karaoke. Now, this isn't like the Gong Show or anything where you would sing a song, or like any of the other shows. This is funny because it's in a car.
Right.
And idiots go like, but it's in a car. Durr. Durr. Hey, this ain't your father's karaoke. It's in a car.
Well,
durr.
See?
Maybe, and then you go, oh, James, maybe you drop the guys off and then you go off a cliff.
No.
And you won't survive, even though you're singing Gloria Gaynor.
By the way, as it looks like, it takes the amount of time just to drive around and like do the song, maybe do a couple of takes. I know you're no particular fan of Foo Fighters. I think
they're fine.
Yeah, and I went to their Fenway show a couple of years ago, and I think they're one of the last like rock bands like out there doing rock and roll shows.
Sure.
Right? And
sure enough,
I appreciate them for a lot of different reasons, but I saw them do that Carpool Karaoke thing, and I'm like, I don't think that Dave Grohl is like the last bastion of cool or anything like that, but I thought he was at least cooler than that, and he was not. And to his credit, after they did that thing, I read about it, and they said it was awful. It was 7 hours.
Oh, my God.
Of driving around take after take after take.
Like, James Corden is the kind of guy who will come out, like, in a duck suit and go like, what? Oh, my God, I'm wearing a duck quack. Oh. He's just this corny theater geek. Piece of crap. Not a funny bone in his body. Everything is meant to be cute. Is he on After Fallon?
I have no idea.
After Fallon, that's a double dose of douche. And they're both failing. So, and by the way, Corden, you know what's great? Is that your network cares nothing about if people watch you from 12:30 to 1:30 at night. All they want is a stupid YouTube clip.
That's it.
Of you getting people and by the way, the Foo Fighters are a band. Why don't you just have them play in the studio or have them play a cover or do a wheel of songs? Do what the Onion does or the AV Club, and there's a list of songs that you can pick, and you pick one, and they cross it off. Next band comes in, they can pick one, they cross it off. That's somewhat interesting. The fact that you're in a car with some fat, schlubby piece of garbage doesn't mean that it's funny. I got an idea. Let's get in a car and have famous people sing. And it will go viral. Have you seen it? The Foo Fighters are in my car singing. Have you seen it yet? They're singing. Now you can go at any time to anywhere and watch literally thousands of videos of them singing, but not in a car. Not in a car. And then every time that someone on Facebook puts it up, I go, your life is terrible. What a horrible life you live. That this is considered, you feel like this is good enough to share. That like, guys, I don't know if you know it, But there's a piece of garbage named James Corden who's got these guys in a car. I think that if I share this with you, you somehow equate it to me, and then I become the fun one.
Well, to that end, Fred, Ice Cube tweeted, "Yesterday was a good day. Welcome to L.A. at King James."
Yeah. Ice Cube has so much credibility now.
Who in the Boston sports media market saw that and deemed it worthy of a retweet?
Oh, boy.
Is it someone at the station?
Well, it's someone who is on this station from time to time.
Okay,
who in the Boston media?
Boston sports media saw this and said, "Oh, this is neat. I'll retweet it."
Who's the worst?
It's not the worst. Just somebody who...
They're on the station from time to time.
Yes.
Did they cover a particular sport?
Yes. But they also cover all sports in their job, but there's one sport in particular that this person is very passionate about. You would call him a friend.
I would call him a friend?
Yeah.
Zolak?
No.
You'd call him a friend?
You would say, "Oh, yeah, he's a friend. He does the show from time to time. He could have just as easily been here today instead of me."
Oh, wait a minute. Bert Breer.
No. You could have, Roach. I'm sorry. There I should have known that right away.
So here it is. Dan Roach retweeting this. Ice Cube, LeBron James, James Corden, carpool karaoke.
Just waking up in the morning, gotta thank God. I don't know, but today seems kind of odd. No barking from the dog, no small. And mama cooked the breakfast with no hog. I got my grub on, but didn't dig out. Finally got a call from a girl I wanna dig out. Hooked it up for later as I hit the door. Thinking, will I live another 24? I gotta go, cause I got me a drop top. And if I hit the switch, I can make the ass drop.
Why is this funny? Like it all? No, seriously. In concept and execution, how is this funny? Just anyone explain it to me. Seriously, in all seriousness, why is it Ice Cube who did the song, which is tremendously overrated, by the way? Ice Cube does the song, and then the fat schlubby piece of garbage sings it, and then another guy it sings it. How in the world is that A, compelling, or B, funny? Because I take medication because I'm not right mentally. Mm-hmm. But I cannot conceive of one thing about that without hyperbole, being honest, not trying to be cool, that is in any way, shape, or form interesting. Other than LeBron James and Ice Cube are in a car together. And okay, all right, they're both famous. Other than that, tell me one thing about that that's interesting. Is it when James Corden, who's a 5'4", a British theater geek, starts moving his palm like he's rapping?
Well, they're in a car.
Yeah. Good. That's fun. Someone explain to me how, just conceptually, in execution or in anything, that's funny. Like, tell me how. Get Dan Roach on the phone. Do you have Dan Roach's number? Get him now. I gotta know. You get him on the phone, and I'm gonna ask him why the hell he shared that thing. What about that is? This planet is going to hell. This planet's going to hell. Hee haw. Conceptually, I get it. You pop out of the cornfield and you tell a joke. Great. It's stupid. It's awful. It plays really dumb, and I get it. But they're jokes, and conceptually, I understand what's happening. You tell me why would you watch it? Well, I couldn't get through the whole thing in 30 seconds, and then Corden. Ah! Oh, can you imagine Corden in high school? We're putting on a production. We're putting on a production. Fiddler on the roof in the chip.
Well, he knows all the words, too. He's doing it alongside Ice Cube.
Wait a second. You're telling me that he learned a song? He learned the words to a song? Oh, can you imagine going to his house and the show tunes are pumping like there's no tomorrow? You know which was wonderful? Hamilton rapping and singing. Les Mis. Les Yes.
I apologize. I thought you would have liked it. I saved it for
Not only do I not like it.
Oh, you don't?
I can't. No, seriously. You explain to me how any of that is interesting or funny. Well, it's a comedy show.
It was a good day because LeBron James signed with the L.A. Lakers, and it's about a good day in Los Angeles.
Look at that face of that stupid Pillsbury dope sitting there looking at that face of satisfaction. God, I hate you so much. I hate him. Hate him. Oh, that's his wife.
This is my beer. Ah, wife.
There's a picture of him and his wife. Sure. Oh, no, it feels like a duck. Not afraid to be the butt of the joke. I'm a piece of crap. End of the world as we know it. Prophecies being realized. Field of locusts, me. Mike, go ahead.
Yeah, can we get Fred in the car and do these karaoke? I'd love to see that. I'll actually listen to those and pay to hear those.
I would not sit in a car with James Corden. I swear to God, as much publicity as that would give me, I would not sit in a car with James Corden and do that. I would say no. Why? Why? If you want me on your show...
Well, what if you got to pick the song, Fred?
Oh, that would be fun. Because he would just go, please do Annie, please do Annie, please do Annie. With what he would say. Are you sure no one wants to do Annie? I'll be Daddy Warbucks, tee. The idea of him... And then I heard him getting interviewed on the WTF podcast. And, like, you know, he's like big... I don't even know how it happened. It was just a television sign. I like the executive who goes, you know what I want is a really over-the-top piece of crap with no comedic skills. This guy's got
Bring me a list.
This guy's got this idea. He's going to drive an automobile. You know what I wish you would drive is a kamikaze plane.
Maybe, what if you did a version of
Speed?
Freddy's Dead in the car, and at the end of it, he drove you into a bridge abutment, and a fiery crash. Well,
that's like taking one for civilization. What would be funny if it was like Speed, and he couldn't go under 55 miles an hour?
Oh, listen to me. I'm in here with Carol King, if she's still alive.
Oh, boy. They should have him in, like, a demolition derby.
It's too bad because Ice Cube was, he was still cool. Despite those, oh, my God, I got the kids in the back of the car movies that he did and everything else that he's done to abandon the credibility that he had. He was still hanging on. He was still Ice Cube.
Ice Cube, his last record of any relevance was when I was in high school.
Yeah.
So, listen, he was a key part of NWA. NWA is incredibly responsible for the growth of hip-hop. I sat in a car when I was in high school, like early in my high school days, and was amazed, or even maybe eighth grade, and thought it was the greatest thing that ever happened. But now you sat in a car with James Corden. The idea being that he's excited because he's a Laker fan, that LeBron James has come to town.
That's why LeBron wanted to be in L.A. So he has easy access to do things like this.
Be funny if someone cut the brakes on it.
Oh, boy! What?
Oh, God, I can't stop. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord above. It's a hard knock life for me. Oh, it's a hard knock life. For me, smashing into a big tree. And then he goes to hell, and the God down below, the devil's just like, all right, get out of here.
Just go anywhere
else. There's no room for you.
Not here.
No. The devil's like, ah, God. Everything was working good for me.
Apparently, this actually was recorded like last fall.
You know what would be funny is if James Corden did
do this brand new for the signing. This was recorded last year, and Ice Cube either reposted it or Dan went and found, maybe Dan had it saved as, you know, his desktop.
In case I needed a chuckle. You know what? It should be called Laying in Traffic with James Corden. He goes, here in my car, I feel... All right, that'll do it. Everyone have a great 4th of July.
Yeah, good. It's good. Good end to the show.
You go, James Corden. Hey, that firework was a dud. And then you pick it up and you go, psych! Oh, God, it appears I'm missing some digits. I can't count to 10.
Won't be playing the piano much anymore now, will I?
I'll tell you. Oh, boy.
Oh, Dud firework fizzles out. What's all this then?
I'm playing the harp. I don't know. I got stubs. Everyone enjoy your 4th of July. How about that? Bye.